Penguin Random House Audio presents While We Were Burning by Sarah Kofi. Read for you by Carissa Vacker and Henriette Zutomo with Louisa Zhu.
To Eric, one of my favorites. They're lucky Black people are looking for equality and not revenge. Kimberly Jones.
Prologue. The beginning of the end. When did I lose you? I can tell I've lost you by the way you glance up at me from that fucking phone in your hands. You look over at me like I'm another one of your boring clients, someone who's talking too much and taking up too much of your precious time. I smile back at you, not saying a word, because I'm not another one of your boring clients, David. Because I know how you feel about ramblers and ranters and ravers. Because we used to feel the same way. It wasn't my intention to become another hated talker, and you know that. You know, or at least you used to know, how much I can't stand the sound of my own voice. Each time I open my goddamn mouth, I want to take a chainsaw to each ear and just give myself some peace and quiet to finally shut myself up once and for all. But there's money to be made from people hearing me talk, right? Isn't that what you told me? Getting out of the house might be good for you, Lizzie. Getting a part-time job might be good for you. Getting some fresh air might be good for you. I know what you really meant, David. That me getting away from you would be good for you. I don't even know what you do with yourself with all that time away from me. I used to think you were fucking one of your assistants, but courtesy of Dr. Hannah Whitaker, I know that's just me projecting. She tells me that I want to believe that you're cheating on me because I'm cheating on you, because believing that we're both just as awful as each other makes me feel better about hurting you. Hurting you? I don't think I can hurt you, David. I don't think there's a single thing I can do to you that would make you pay attention to me for more than 5 seconds at a time. Do you remember how I used to be able to make your head spin just by wearing one of your Ratty Band t-shirts and nothing else? How you would get down on your knees and worship my body until the old woman who used to live in the apartment right next to ours would knock against the wall as hard as she could? You'd always joke about stopping for her sake, for the sake of her brittle bones, for the sake of her bloodied knuckles rapping, rapping, rapping. But you were never really joking. You wanted to stop because you care about other people, David. Even when you think they're boring, you force a smile on your face, and you're polite and considerate and thoughtful and seemingly present in all the ways that matter. You would give the shirt off your back to someone who you thought needed it more than you, and I've seen you give the last few dollars you had in your wallet to a begging woman in the street without a moment of hesitation. And it kills me to know that, David. It kills me to know that the man who cares about everyone he meets, even if he can hardly stand them, doesn't care about me. Doesn't see me. Looks right past me. Looks right through me. When did I lose you? When did I lose you? When did I lose you? I almost form the question in my mouth before I brush it away with my tongue. Asking you would just turn me even more into something you hate, a too-much talker, a time-waster. Especially because I already know how you would answer. You haven't lost me, baby. I'm right here. I'm always going to be here for you, Lizzie. And then you would disappear back into your fucking phone. And I would turn back into the ghost you've made of me, the whisper of the woman you used to love.
1. Elizabeth. Beale Street after 5? I'd rather kill myself. Patricia was leaning against the main lobby's printer, her nurse costume clinging tight to her skin. It was inappropriate for an office setting in every sense of the word, the blouse cut too low and the skirt too short. Her only real saving grace was that she waited until I'd finished with my shift at the learning center to change into it, making sure no one saw her but me. That seemed to be the rhythm of our entire relationship. Patricia always coming just as I was going. Patricia wanting to tag along on errands that I desperately wanted to get done by myself. Ever since I'd opened the door to her welcoming me to the neighborhood with homemade brownies and a megawatt smile, she'd been around, a little offbeat, a fly in the ointment that was my attempt to not have a fly in my ointment. Yeah, well, that's what David told me they were up to, I replied, my fingers gliding along the printer's control screen, getting a drink at the absinthe room. So they're pre-gaming before the Halloween party tonight. Patricia rolled her eyes, punctuating the end of her sentence. What is it with men and trying to relive their college glory days? I bit my tongue, hard, as a fresh copy landed in the printer tray. I knew for a fact that Patricia had wanted to be a nurse when she was in college and that she'd flunked out of the program. It was one of those stories she'd always come back to when there were any lulls in our conversations, whenever it seemed like there might be a single moment of silence between us. I never asked her why she was so hell-bent on reliving something from her past that had clearly hurt. Why she always felt the need to bring it up again, like she was stuck in some modern-day version of the Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Maybe it was the failure. Maybe Patricia wasn't used to it. Maybe that was the first time it had ever happened, the first time she'd ever been scarred by anything like it. Like a little kid who can't stop telling people about the first time they ever got a sunburn at the beach. Failing was a novelty. What are you supposed to be, Liz? Patricia nodded over at my outfit. You look interesting, at least. Stevie Nicks, I answered with a slight shrug. But maybe without the innate talent and grace, I'm coming off more like a burnt-out hippie. Patricia smirked, but she didn't laugh. Like she was amused, but didn't want to fully admit it. Did David buy you that? Nope, I thrifted most of it. Thrifted? Why? Her eyes widened with abject horror. You and David aren't having money problems, are you? No, that's not, because you could tell me if you were, she interrupted. Jack and I would be happy to help. We're not having money problems. It was my turn to do the interrupting. David and I are fine. I just think thrifting is better for the environment, that's all. Better for the environment? You know, fast fashion and all that. I shrugged again as I pulled a stack of freshly printed copies close to my chest. I read an article about it online. Recycling clothes is all the rage. Okay, Patricia murmured, like she didn't believe a word of what I was saying. And it took everything in me not to drop the stack of copies back onto the landing tray, pull up the article I'd seen on my phone, and make Patricia digest every word. There was just something about suburbanites and lying. They lied so much that they assumed everyone else was always lying, too. Lying about how much they're pulling in a year. Lying about how wonderful it is to be a mother, a father. Lying about how much they love the holidays, their spouses, their car, their job, their life. Always lying, lying, lying. But not me. I long suspected it was one of the reasons I never felt like I really fit into the rest of Harbor Town, no matter how much they wanted me to. I wasn't interested in crafting some version of myself that I could never live up to. And I wasn't interested in spending my precious time on this planet surrounding myself with people who wanted their lives to resemble SUV commercials. Saccharine, sweet, fake. On a road headed to fucking nowhere. Speaking of thrifting, Patricia paused for a moment as she shot me a pleading look. Have you talked to David about the Neighborhood Watch program? Are you really so removed from reality that thrifting and stealing are the same thing to you, Patricia? I asked her, solely in my head. Have you gone so far down the upper middle class rabbit hole that you can only conceptualize something as having been bought if there's a designer's name stitched across its label? No, I haven't. Not yet or not ever? Not ever, I admitted with an apologetic glance in her direction. Sorry, Patricia, but it doesn't really gel with what we believe in. Besides, the last big Harbor Town mystery was solved in less than 24 hours. The last big mystery?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?